A reading from the book of Exodus. You shall not wrong or oppress a stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not ill-treat any widow or orphan. If you do mistreat them, I will heed their outcry as soon as they cry out to me, and my anger shall blaze forth, and I will put you to the sword, and your own wives shall become widows, and your children orphans. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, do not act toward them as a creditor. Exact no interest from them. If you take your neighbor's garment in pledge, you must return it before the sun sets. It is the only clothing, the sole covering your neighbor has. And what else shall your neighbor sleep? Therefore, if your neighbor cries out to me, I will pay heed, for I am compassionate. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. You know what sort of people we were among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model for all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth. So that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await the Son from heaven, who was raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him, asking, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commands." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Exact no interest from them.
take your neighbor's garment in pledge, you must return it before the sun sets. It is the only clothing, the sole covering your neighbor has. And what else shall your neighbor sleep? Therefore, if your neighbor cries out to me, I will pay heed, for I am compassionate. The word of the Lord. First letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. You know what sort of people we were among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, receiving the word in great affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit, so that you became a model for all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves openly declare about us what sort of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to await the Son from heaven, who was raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. The word of the Lord. Amen.
from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him, asking, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commands." The Gospel of the Lord. I think there are too many people around anymore who believe that everything in the red type is the exact words of Jesus, albeit translated into English. There are still some. There are some who think, in fact, that Jesus spoke English, that Jesus spoke the English of the King James Version, and if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Most of us are willing to admit that the historical process, as was described in the teachings of the church, it's a three-stage process. First layer was the actual life of Jesus, his preaching, his teaching, his miracles, his disciples, his death, his resurrection. The second layer was the preaching of the apostles about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And then the third layer is the writing of the gospel writers summarizing the teaching of the apostles about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. But it's always fun, I think, when we can peek back, when we can look from the top layer down to the bottom and see what Jesus actually physically, verbally, or verbatim said about something, especially if that something is important. And we've got a case like that this morning. This is not just my idea. This is John Meyer, who's one of the great scripture scholars of this and the last century, author of a 4-volume, we hope soon to be 5, series of volumes on exactly this point. What did Jesus actually say and actually do that we can historically verify? We start by comparing verses. We've got the one we just read, that's in Matthew. Then we've got Luke. In Luke, it's very different. It's not here. This is where it's set in the temple during Holy Week after the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. It's that series of debates. In Luke, it's earlier, back on the road to Jerusalem. And it's not a temptation testing him. It's a sincere dialogue between two scholars. It's not a representative Pharisee scribe. It's one of the scribes. And he has a question. And what do I do to attain eternal life? And then Jesus asks him, what's in the law? How do you read it? And he's the one who gives this answer. And Jesus says, you're right. Do that, you're fine. And then he questions that. And Jesus goes on to do the whole Good Samaritan parable. So in Luke, this is spoken by the Pharisee, a scribe, and is the lead-in to the Good Samaritan. Mark, the oldest of the three, and the one presumably that Matthew and Luke both drew on, has some similarities and some differences. It is, as here in Matthew, in the middle of the Jerusalem debates. But it's not transformed into another critique, another debate. We have that in the whole rest of the chapter. Jesus versus the Herodians, Jesus versus the Sadducees, and so on. But this one in Mark is a single scribe, one of the scribes, and he seems to be quite sincere. And in fact, his dialogue with Jesus goes rather well. Thank you. Changes it a bit to put it into this form, to fit in the, with his controversy stories. But he maintains the essence of the response, the quotation from Deuteronomy, the quotation from Leviticus. He then adds, the whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. That was not in Mark. What's in Mark is simply the question and then the answer, these two quotes, by Jesus. Matthew adds also one little word that will become very important as we look at the history of this pericope. The second is like it. Mark didn't say that. Mark simply said the first is, the second is. Matthew says the first is, the second is like it, namely, and so on. What's that about? Well, these two sayings are direct verbatim quotations from the Torah. The first from Deuteronomy chapter 6. The second from Leviticus. Now Leviticus, if you remember your order of books, is an earlier book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's two books earlier, but it's placed later. Right? It's the Deuteronomy quote that is said to be the first. This is the most traditional Jewish piece of scripture. It's what's inside the mezuzah to this day in every Jewish home. It's what's inside the phylactery that every pious Orthodox Jew puts on his head and his hands before he prays. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. So that's a very traditional response. Then Jesus says, and the second is, he wasn't asked. The question was only, what is the first? He gives the first and the second. The second is, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Quoting Leviticus. Now, what's interesting about that is if you look it up in the Hebrew, they use the same verb. Now, the Hebrew verb is a bit of a crazy thing. We in English use various auxiliary verbs, I will be going, he should have thought, etc. In Hebrew, all of that is put into one word. You can also load various things like time indications and possession indications, subjects and objects, into the structure of the verb. So you get a verb, ve'ahavta, which means, and you shall love him. We would translate it as imperative. It's a perfect with a vav consecutivum if you want the Hebrew grammar. But in English, we would translate that with as a perfect with the sense of an imperative. Right? It has a subject and an object, you, him, all in the one word. So while the word love is fairly common, both as a verb and as an adjective, throughout the Torah, this one particular form, and you shall love him, all one word, occurs only four times in the Torah. And this quote accounts for all of them. The first quote from Leviticus, which is the second quote here, is you shall love your neighbor. Now your neighbor means your countryman, your fellow Israelite. That leaves you off the hook with how you treat the alien. We get a lot of Americans who do that today, right? If you're a citizen, I love you. If not, go home. Just to keep you from getting around that little curve, about five verses after you shall love your neighbor as yourself, the same verb is repeated for the resident alien, the ger, right? And you shall love him as yourself. So it's just a stretching of the one from Leviticus. Similarly, the quote from Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's repeated a couple of chapters later, and that's the fourth quotation. So, you know, aside from two reprises, these two are the only places in the entire Torah
where that same verb is used. Verbatim. Now, that's not a big feat to notice that today. You load the text of the Torah into your computer, and you bring up your search engine, and you type in that verb, and you see what comes back. In the days before that, in the days when, in fact, the Hebrew did not even have the vowel points, you only had the consonantal text, you had to know the Torah pretty damn well to recognize that, to make that connect. Those words are two whole books apart. Jesus knows the Torah that well. Jesus makes that connection. You shall, the first is this, the second is that, both, and you shall love. Mark, who is a Gentile, writing for Gentiles, doesn't understand that. He appreciates Jesus' teaching, he's going to preserve that, but he doesn't understand what Jesus has done to get there. It's a rabbinic technique called Gezerah Shavah. It means when two passages use the same language, they invite you to interpret them in terms of each other. Jesus is doing that. And you shall love him. Ties these two passages together. Mark doesn't understand that, so he doesn't remark on it. But that is a wonderful way of guaranteeing the historicity. Mark would never have thought that up. He doesn't even recognize it. When he copies it, he takes no note of it. Because it's beyond him. He's a goy. He doesn't know about things like that. How would he have gotten it? Only if it comes to him in history. Only if that was what was passed down to him as to what Jesus actually said. And that's how we know how solid this passage is. Matthew now. Different story. Matthew is a Jew. In fact, Matthew is a trained rabbi, writing for a community that has a large number of Jewish Christians. They will appreciate this. So he adds, the second is like it. Gezerah Shavah. The second is like it. And you shall love him, your neighbor, as yourself. Matthew is pointing out what Mark has only by memory, without understanding. So, walking through all of that, you get pretty good scholarly assurance that you're listening not to Mark, not to Matthew, not to me, not to the 2,000 years of the church in the meantime, but to the voice of Jesus himself. The first is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second, like it, is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus asked about it specifically, goes to those two particular points. One that is the bedrock of Judaism, love God. It's not humanism. It's not human values. It's not philosophy. It's essentially theology. It's essentially mysticism. Know who God is. For us, that is specifically the Abba of Jesus. Understand what kind of God we worship. Understand the God who stretches out beyond all reasonable limits to stretch out. The God who pours out God's self to the extent of giving his own son to die and rise for us. Get to know that God. Love that God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Then, secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. Learn the way that God loves your neighbor. Grow up to be like the old man. Love your neighbor the way God does. Not by comparison, not by evaluation, not by rule following, but just by unbounded generosity. Those are two simple, simple rules, but they extend in their reality into enormous complexity. Is it worth the journey? Yeah. We have the exact words of Jesus Christ himself, except it's in translation. If you want, we could get a scholar in here who could do it for you in the Hebrew. Give me enough time to prepare it. I could do it for you in the Hebrew too, but it would take me some time to do that. I'm not sure it would be helpful. Just hang on to that one word, ve'ahavta. And you shall love him. That ties the two together. And know that that's a mark that we have it from the lips of Jesus. Think about it. Pray about it. Sink into it the way you would sink a roast in a marinade. Let it and soak it up into your soul. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.